A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty. Even great smokers' rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-549-TERM. 866-549-TERM. 866-549-TERM.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Happy New Year, Dubai. A crowd cheering fireworks near Burj Khalifa, a skyscraper that's the world's tallest structure. Security is tight in the U.S. before ringing in the new. After Sunday's deadly airliner crash in South Korea, says ABC's Britt Clinett at the crash site.
South Korea is carrying out 5 days of safety checks and inspections on all of the country's 101 Boeing 737-800s, while a team of U.S. investigators and representatives from Boeing are here to examine what caused this crash.
President Biden will deliver the eulogy next Thursday for the late President Jimmy Carter at National Cathedral in Washington. Aaron Brown, a respected broadcast reporter and anchor, has died. He was 76. Brown helped inaugurate the overnight ABC News Now and reported for other ABC News programs and earned a Murrow Award for his reporting of 9/11 on CNN. This is ABC News. Betting on high-profile events is growing in popularity, but U.S. regulators are drawing the line at betting crime.
Online gambling sites like Kalshi and Predicted have pulled all bets on the fate of Luigi Mangione, the man accused of assassinating UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission stepped in, banning wagers on crimes like assassination, terrorism, and war, labeling them against the public interest. The unregulated site Polymarket still hosts Mangione bets, including, will Luigi Mangione fire his lawyer before 2025? And will it be confirmed that Luigi Mangione used psychedelics? Dave Packer, ABC News.
On this last day of 2024, a Belgium ultra runner is now the first woman to run a marathon every single day of the year, possibly setting a new record. Top of running nearly 9,600 miles, the 55-year-old also raised more than $62,000 for breast cancer research. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Newpert. 3 people are dead and a suspect is named after an incident in New Lisbon. The 3 unidentified victims were found dead inside a home on Monday. New Lisbon police are looking for 47-year-old Virgil Thu. Police say Thu is white, 5'10", and around 150 pounds. He was last seen wearing a dark coat and a hat. Thu is considered armed and dangerous, and if you see him, call police and do not approach him. Flags fly at half-staff for the next month in honor of former President Jimmy Carter. We get more from Bob Haig.
The 39th president died age 100 following a post-presidency marked by decades of humanitarian work. In a statement, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers said Carter was a committed and dedicated advocate for peace, human rights, and treating others with dignity, decency, and respect. In accordance with federal law following the death of a former president, Evers has ordered the U.S. and Wisconsin state flags flown at half-staff at all buildings, grounds, and military installations through sunset January 28.
A West Bend woman accused of leading a deer poaching ring does not have an attorney. 36-year-old Jessica Croning is accused of killing and torturing deer and having three children take part in the incidents. A criminal complaint alleges Croning and the juveniles would drive around with a spotlight shining fields and would fire at the deer from the vehicle. If a deer was shot, they would identify the sex of the deer. Some were left to rot where they lie, while the heads of some bucks were removed. Since Kroenig does not have an attorney, the case against her is on hold until she can be assigned one from the public defender's office. Three juveniles also face charges in the case but have not been identified. A peregrine falcon born at a Wisconsin power plant has been spotted in the wild. The bird named Trapper was born this year at a We Energies plant. It's very rare to see one of those birds in the wild once they leave the nest. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Not all soils are created equal. To a farmer, that's nothing new. Different parts of your field yield differently. Advertising shares a lot of similarities. There are more choices than ever about where to put your advertising dollars. A recent survey shows farmers rely on radio for their ag news almost five times as much as social media. To use another metaphor, farm radio is the best soil for planting those seeds of advertising. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For the rest of today, cloudy skies, low 30s. Tonight, clouds, an overnight low of 19. On your New Year's Day, mostly cloudy with a high near 22. For Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 14. On Thursday, mostly sunny, we'll see a high around 20 degrees. For Friday, mostly sunny, 16. Saturday, sunshine, and 14. Currently, 26 degrees.
And welcome in. Thanks for joining us here for AOA, Agriculture of America, as we are closing out 2024 and beginning 2025. A happy new year to you and yours. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Appreciate Mike Adams filling in the last few days as well, as I got some R&R time and holiday time with my family and loved ones. Got to go back to Iowa and see my mom and brother and sister and nieces as well, and take our son up there to see them too. So it was good to get away for a few days. Appreciate Mike filling in. I know he had a lot of great conversations here on the show. We're going to have some good conversations today. Coming up, we're going to preview the Top Farmer Conference happening at Purdue University. Dr. Jim Mintert with the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture is going to join us here in segment two. In segment three, we're going to hear about the Forever Green Initiative at the University of Minnesota, looking at regenerative ag, cover crops, soil health, water quality, and more. Dr. Mitch Hunter with the Forever Green Initiative will join us. Then in segment four, our American Ag Network and farm correspondent Corinne LaRue has a story about pork demand and the National Pork Board folks reaching out to younger consumers. We're going to hear that coming up here later on in the show. Helping us kick things off, though, here just before Christmas, I got an update on South American crop conditions and the impact on the markets with Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor. Let's take a listen to that conversation right now on AOA. How are things looking across Brazil, Argentina, et cetera, right now?
The situation in Brazil is looking pretty good. They've been getting a lot of rainfall. It started the second half of October and has continued until the present day. And the soybeans are in generally very good condition, a high yield potential. In fact, everybody is increasing their soybean estimates for Brazil. The crop is right now filling pods in a lot of the areas. In fact, they'll probably start harvesting a few early maturing soybeans in a couple of weeks, probably in the state of Paraná. But the situation is quite good, much better than what was anticipated when he had a dry start to the planting season. Now, one concern everybody has is that the planting was very concentrated In places of Mato Grosso, for example, about two-thirds of the soybeans planted within a two-week period, which means they're going to be ready to harvest in a two-week period as well. So everybody's got their fingers crossed, hoping it doesn't get wet in February, when a lot of the soybeans will be ready to harvest. So they're hoping it gets a little bit drier so they can get the soybeans out and the safrinha corn planted.
You mentioned that some of the private estimates have been ticking higher for this soybean crop. Any thoughts from your side where this could land when it's all said and done as far as a yield projection?
Well, I'm at 170 million tons right now with a neutral to higher bias. In fact, Ag Rural just came out this morning. They're 171 million tons. So there's a lot of people between 170 and 172. My upper limit is 175. And if the weather continues the way it is right now, you know, we could hit 175 million, which would be a record, of course. And there's going to be logistical issues with such a big crop. I can just see it coming, especially if it's wet and it delays the harvest. So there's going to be a big crop coming out of Brazil for sure.
Thinking about that safrinha corn crop as well going into the ground, if there are any sort of harvest delays that could, as we know, affect safrinha planting. We know we saw some planting delays for soybeans earlier in the year, but we largely caught up really quickly. Could that be a good indicator for safrinha corn planting? Should we get behind a little bit? I think it's already been evidenced and well known that Brazilian farmers can get a crop in the ground pretty quickly nowadays.
Yes, absolutely. So they did have a slow start to soybean planting, but you're correct. They caught up very quickly. And another thing to consider, corn prices domestically are quite good in Brazil. In fact, the prices are up $1.65 a bushel for corn compared to a year ago. And if you're in Mato Grosso today, you can sell corn for about $4.35 a bushel. That's pretty darn good. So most farmers are now raising their estimates about their safrinha corn acreage. In fact, the Mato Grosso Institute of Agricultural Economics, they now forecast the safrinha acreage to be up 0.5% compared to last year. A couple of months ago, when he's having trouble planting the soybeans, we thought it'd be down like 5%. So it's looking much more optimistic for the safrinha corn if, and this is the big if the weather cooperates and he can get the soybeans harvested in a timely manner.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor here on the show. And I wonder as well, the last time we talked, we touched on the leafhopper issues in Argentina. Is that something that's still a concern for Argentine farmers as we look ahead to 2025?
No. In fact, the numbers of corn leafhoppers are way down. It was down like 90% lower a couple of weeks ago compared to last year. Why it's so much lower? I guess the winter took care of the insects. But that's a very important point. We thought the farmers would plant less corn for fear of corn leafhoppers, but that just did not materialize. In fact, I think they will now not cut their corn acreage nearly as much as anticipated. And right now, for example, in Argentina, the corn is 56% planted, and the crop is rated 51% good to excellent. The soybeans are 65% planted and rated 65% good to excellent. Now, the problem in Argentina is the weather. They've had enough moisture for planting and crop establishment, but not enough to recharge, you know, the soil moisture. And now they're going into the summertime, and the forecast is for below normal rainfall and above normal temperatures. Now, no extreme temperatures are in the forecast, but as the crop gets bigger and the temperatures start to heat up, they're going to need more moisture. So I would categorize Argentina as sort of problematic weather-wise. Now, they're going to probably plant more corn than what we anticipated and less soybeans. And I have adjusted my estimates accordingly. So maybe a little bit less soybean production out of Argentina, a little bit more corn if the weather cooperates. And Right now, that's a big if in Argentina. So in all of South America, Argentina's the area to watch. Their weather is starting to be problematic, whereas in Brazil, it's like good and getting better. So Argentina's a place to watch here going forwards.
Once again, that's a conversation I had just before Christmas with Dr. Michael Cordonier with Soybean and Corn Advisor. Go to soybeansandcorn.com for more, and things still looking pretty good in South America in terms of their weather conditions, and it's something we're going to keep an eye on here as we get into early January as they get into that critical pod fill time, soybean harvest, and much more, and of course, planting of that safrida corn crop in Brazil. All right, coming up next, we're going to learn about the top farmer conference that is happening here early in January at Purdue University. Dr. Jim Mintert with Purdue's Center for Commercial Agriculture will join us to tell us more. That's on the way next here on AOA. Back after this.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk. We are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wildlands across America. For more information, visit out.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Customer-owned, community-minded, Synergy Co-op.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA. Well, of course, the winter months for many in agriculture means it's meeting season. Traveling around the state you're in or around the country for various meetings and collaborations with folks throughout the ag industry, et cetera, et cetera. Well, a great conference coming up in early January is the Top Farmer Conference at Purdue University. And joining us now to tell us more about this, he is the director for the Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture, Dr. Jim Minter. Jim, welcome back to the show. Merry Christmas and happy holiday season to you and yours.
Yeah, the same to you and all your listeners. It's been a great start to the new year, so we're looking forward to it. And as you mentioned, the conference is coming up on January 10th. It'll be held here in West Lafayette, but it also is available online, so you can register to attend in person, or, you know, if the distance is a little too much and maybe the time slot doesn't fit you exactly, you can register online and watch the conference on Zoom. And of course, if you register for the conference, you can always watch the video recordings later on and share all the slide decks, et cetera, that people present. So it's a fun conference. This conference has been going on at Purdue, going on over half a century now. And a few years ago, we transitioned it to the winter months, to the January time frame, and turned it into a one-day conference. And this year is really going to be interesting. We've got Matt Erickson is going to kick it off for us as our keynote speaker. Some of you might remember that Matt formerly was the chief economist for the U.S. Senate Ag Committee. He's currently with Farm Credit Services of America as their Ag Economic and Policy Advisor. But he brings about 15 years of experience in the Washington scene. And given what's taken place with respect to legislation in Washington these days and what's taken place in the ag economy, I think what Matt's got to say to kick this off is going to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's right there is a good reason for folks to take part in this in person or virtually. And, you know, Jim, I look through this list and this agenda, folks who are going to be speaking beyond Matt. And I mean, it's a bit of a who's who of folks that have a lot of great insight into various segments of agriculture.
That's right, because following up after Matt is going to be Gary Schnitke from the University of Illinois. And you know, what's taken place with respect to commodity prices this fall and early so far this winter, he's going to talk about a topic that's really relevant. And his title is Reset Land Acquisition and Machinery Management Strategies for the Next Decade. And the thought process is that the upcoming decade could be a lot leaner than what we've experienced recently. And how do we manage our way through that? And Gary, of course, is a member of the FarmDoc team at the University of Illinois, has decades of experience. He's written a lot on these topics. So that's going to be an interesting conversation as well. And I think really helpful as people try to make a transition to what looks like going to be a really challenging environment for crop producers in 2025 and probably extending at least into 2026.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another topic here, too. You have someone talking about the use of AI and technology in general on the farm. And that in itself is a conversation that's can go, I'm sure, a number of different ways and be a very robust and deep conversation, Jim.
Yeah, so we're very fortunate. We have a new faculty member, Chad Fichter, joined us just a year ago. And Chad is a really interesting faculty member. He farmed for 10 years with his family in Eastern Indiana before coming back to graduate school and then joining our faculty. So he really brings the farmer perspective to what he does research on. And so one of the topics he's going to address at the session is going to be, how can we use AI to improve your financial management? And, you know, we've been doing workshops for years teaching people about how they could maybe use their tax return and a couple of balance sheets to generate some of the financial ratios that a lot of financial economists suggest you should be using to monitor the progress of your business over time. What Chad has done is worked with a couple of students to develop a way using AI to make that happen seamlessly and get you past that stumbling block. So you can take literally your tax return, scan it, scan a couple of balance sheets, and it'll generate the information for you. And then you can focus on what's important, which is not computing the ratios, but rather analyzing them and particularly looking at those trends over time, comparing them to other sources of information that are available so you see where you're at relative to your competitors. It'll be a fun session, and you get a chance to demo this during the conference. So it'll be a lot of fun for our people, I think.
Jim, any other big highlights as we look at this year's Top Farmer Conference?
Well, we're going to wrap it up with a session with a couple of our production scientists from Weed Science and Agronomy, and my colleague, Dr. Michael Langemeyer, on the farm management aspect, talking about what strategies can we use in a practical way to reduce our cost per bushel of corn and soybeans in 2025. It's one thing to say you need to reduce your cost per bushel. It's another thing to think about some concrete strategies you can pursue. So we've got Bill Johnson from our weed science group. We've got Sean Castile from our agronomy department joining Dr. Langemeyer. It's going to be a discussion. They're going to present some highlights with respect to some of the recommendations they have. But the last half of that session is really going to be reserved for people to pose questions. So if you've got a question about a technology or a strategy you were thinking about using, you'll get a chance to ask that question, and it'll be a fun session. We've done something like this in the past, and it's always a highlight of the conference.
Jim, folks want to get registered again in person or virtually and take a look at more details. I know this is all available on the commercial ag portion of the ag.purdue.edu website, isn't it?
It sure is. So the two ways to go at it. One is just to our homepage, purdue.edu/commercial ag. The other way, which is probably just as easy for a lot of us, pick your favorite search engine and just type in Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. And the banner highlighting the conference is at the top of the website. You can't miss it. And just click away from there.
Top Farmer Conference coming up January 10th at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. Jim, any other final thoughts you'd share or a final pitch to folks to take part in this year's conference?
You know, it's a really fun conference, and it's fun whether you do it in person or online. And either way, you get an opportunity later on to go back and watch the videos. So a lot of times at conferences, you're like, well, what did that person really say? And I want to revisit that. With this approach, you can go back and watch some of those key sessions, those key highlights that you want to review. And that can be very helpful as you go through the course of the winter.
Well, we appreciate the time and the insight. Purdue University's Top Farmer Conference, again, coming up January 10th in West Lafayette, Indiana, in person or virtually. With that, Dr. Jim Mintert with Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture. Jim, thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you. And thanks to all your listeners and happy holidays to everyone.
You bet. Once again, Dr. Jim Mintert with Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture. Well, 2024 was a year of record high beef prices. Texas A&M AgriLife Extension livestock economist David Anderson says the cash market for fed cattle traded within about a $10 range this year.
We got to a little over 190 about mid-year, declined down to 180. We're back up to 190 again. And so, you know, really since February, we've been between 180 and 190, a little bit of movement back and forth. But that's actually higher than last year, almost every week this year for a weekly average price. So prices are better than they were a year ago. But again, you know, we've been sort of stuck in this band and we've been unable to really break out over 190 consistently. I think that's something that's going to change in 2025, where we're going to see some higher prices.
He adds that beef production is likely keeping a lid on prices. And he says when it comes to the futures market, there was a lot of enthusiasm this summer,
particularly into June and July. And then at the end of July, early August, we had a big decline in futures market prices. I think that's really because of this recognition that we were producing more beef than a year ago. You know, as we think about that, we've certainly had some mixed signals in the overall economy, but certainly growing GDP, rising real wages, certainly some declining rates of inflation. Yet we do have a lot of consumers that are struggling, and we look at higher prices. So, you know, we had this realization in the futures market that, gosh, we're producing more beef than a year ago. At that very same time, there were a bunch of stories about in the kind of the popular press about, oh, gosh, we're headed for a recession. Well, I think those gave a reason for the futures market to sell off and drive those prices down. The recession really didn't materialize, but our high beef production was still with us.
And Anderson says he is predicting even higher beef prices in 2025. Again, that's comments with David Anderson, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension livestock economist. All right, coming up next here on AOA, we're going to learn more about the Forever Green Initiative at the University of Minnesota's College of Food, Agricultural, and Natural Resource Sciences. Very interesting initiative looking to enhance water and soil quality, looking at regenerative agriculture, cover cropping, and much more. Excited to learn about the work they're doing at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Mitch Hunter will join us for a conversation to tell us more about the Forever Green Initiative. He'll join us next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Look, markets are mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk down 35 to 2032, March down 35 to 1996, April down 28 to 1955, May up 4 at 1940. Meanwhile, live cattle markets mostly higher. Feeder cattle also moving mostly higher as the trade does expect higher cash markets and increased packer demand at the end of the week. Now, the nearby live cattle market is a bit lower due to lower boxed beef prices. The sell-off continues in the hog markets on consumer demand concerns, also breaking through some of the resistance levels and support levels has extended the sell-off. December live cattle down 22 cents to 193.85. January feeder cattle up $1.30 to 262.92. February hogs down 80 cents to 80.82. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn markets moving mostly higher at the end of the year. Some short covering at the end of the year. Really not a lot of big bullish news to help with the corn market. Soybeans mostly higher. Dry weather concerns in Argentina starting to crop up, and that is helping to support soybeans along with strength in some of the soybean products. Wheat markets are relatively flat today. Matif wheat slightly higher. That is helping there to support the market. New crop corn up 3.5 to 442.5. New crop beans up 10 to 1018 in the quarter. March wheat up 0.5 to 548.75. Minneapolis wheat up 0.25 to 594. With markets, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durant help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durant location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, cover crops, of course, continue to be a hot topic and a big conversation among the ag community as we focus on sustainability and much more. And there's a lot of work being done at the University of Minnesota in regards to cover crops and sustainable agriculture and more. We want to learn about the Forever Green Initiative here today. Joining us for a conversation, he is co-director of the Forever Green Initiative from the University of Minnesota. Mitch Hunter is with us on the program today. Mitch, it's great to have you with us and talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today. Hope you're doing well.
Sure. Thanks, Jesse. Good to be here.
Well, just for starters, give us a background on Forever Green for folks who might not be aware of the initiative. Can you give us kind of the overview and rundown to start, Mitch?
Sure. Yeah. So we've been around as a platform at the University of Minnesota for about 10 years and really building on work that goes back 30 years or more. So our co-founders, Don Wise and Nick Jordan. Don Wise was very well known across the ag community in Minnesota. Unfortunately, passed away earlier this year. They worked for decades together to basically chart a new course for agriculture, where we can keep our soil covered all year round with productive plants that are actually producing a yield, and have that be very market driven, and then also have those systems have real conservation benefits built in. So, you know, you can think about it like cash cover cropping. Cover crops are awesome. They provide great benefits. Lots of farmers are making them work in a real way, in a commercial way. And a lot of farmers are struggling to figure out how to integrate them in a way that works for their system and makes them money. And especially up here in Minnesota where it's cold. So the whole broader region just makes that a challenge. So we've been working through, you know, basic research, applied research, partnering with farmers, partnering with companies, been doing that for 10 years or more to bring some new crop options forward so that farmers can actually go plant something that they're going to be able to sell, that hopefully can be profitable, and that also is going to keep their soil covered in the way that a cover crop does.
Well, and of course, you bring up the trying to find profitability for cover crops, and there's so many different cover crops out there that farmers can choose from. And you made a great point as well that not every location in the U.S. can get away with growing certain cover crops year round. I mean, just talk about all the different options that are out there. There's so much to kind of take in here, and I would understand why farmers could maybe get a little overwhelmed, so to speak.
Yeah, no question. As far as conventional cover cropping, you know, the workhorses are things like cereal rye, super winter hardy, puts on a lot of biomass. That's usually a good thing unless it gets away from you in the spring and you're trying to terminate it and get something else planted. That can be a challenge. And then legumes. So often clovers, sometimes vetches, sometimes a winter pea. Those are great options that, you know, can fix some nitrogen and maybe take a little bit off of your fertilizer bill once you get your head around exactly how is that contributing to my crop nitrogen needs. So, you know, there's many more. There's dozens more species that farmers can use, have used. And the folks who have really got this dialed in, you know exactly what species fits in what part of the rotation or even a mix of species, which can be kind of exciting. But, you know, the numbers tell the tale that, you know, most parts of the country, cover crop adoption is 2% of ag acres, 3, 4, 5, maybe, with a few exceptions. And so despite all the research, despite all the proven benefits and the incentives that have been out there, it's been a challenge to really expand beyond, you know, pretty small sliver of crop farming. So what we're trying to do is put new options on the table. And, you know, working with new crops has its own challenges. So it's not a slam dunk. But what we see is that we need to change the model. And sometimes it's going to make sense to plant a cover crop that you're not trying to harvest. But if you can get a harvest out of that cover crop the next spring, get the soil cover all winter and then harvest it. And this is really important. You can't be displacing that summer crop the following year. Then that's a real way that we see that we can break through that ceiling of 2 or 3 or 4% adoption, because farmers are running a business. You know, they need to see the profit as well as the expense to really commit to something over the long term. And you know, everybody's concerned about their soil health, wants to make the right decisions for that. We see that even though these plants are being managed as a crop and being harvested, we're still getting a lot of the same benefits for soil health, for water quality, et cetera, that farmers would be looking for from their traditional cover crops.
Well, and Mitch, let's talk about a newer cover crop specifically for folks, I think, in the Northern Plains, the upper Midwest. There's been a lot of talk about this lately. Winter camelina It's something we've touched on a bit here on the program before, but I know you guys have been doing some work with that, some research there. What are your thoughts and what have you guys been doing to educate farmers when it comes to winter camelina?
Yeah, so that's a great, that's probably one of the most ripe opportunities that we are working on. And I should say we're working on over 15 different species, and a good number of them are perennials, perennial crops that you can actually harvest a grain from. That's pretty out there. That's on the leading edge of really innovative approaches. And maybe a few of your listeners might have heard of Kernza. That's a perennial cousin of wheat that you can harvest for the grain, and then it grows back the next year. So we're pushing the envelope as hard as we can on some of those really transformative pieces. And then we're also focused on the pieces that are going to be easier for farmers to pick up sooner. And I'd say winter camelina is one of those. So if you've never heard of what this plant is, think about canola. It's a cousin of canola. It's also a brassica. It's just kind of a smaller version. Doesn't get as tall, doesn't take as long to mature. And that's a really important thing, that you can get that crop harvested and off the ground early enough in the season that you can grow a second crop. And it's more winter hardy than canola. So winter camelina last fall, two falls ago now, I guess, we had it planted on about 2,000 acres in Minnesota and North Dakota. For the most part, it took that winter like a champ. It was a weird winter. You know, it was warm through December, so we had some stands that got a little too mature and they didn't do so well. But up in Roseau County, you know, up on the Canadian border, we had stands that came through beautifully, and even we had some of the highest yields up there. So like I said, it's kind of a small version of canola. You harvest a seed that is also a little bit smaller than canola seed. So this is probably the smallest seed that any of your listeners have ever worked with. If they've grown flax, it's similar to that. When you go to harvest this and put it in a wagon and put it in a bin, you know, get out the duct tape. You got to cover up every little hole. If you don't, it's going to run right through. So it's unique and it has some challenges, but the exciting thing is there's a market for it. Okay. So the biggest driver of the market is low carbon fuels. Mm-hmm. And there's a growing market for that. Your listeners have probably heard about sustainable aviation fuel and the 40B, 45Z when you're looking at corn and soybeans. This is in a similar category, and it can even, some of the data suggests it can even be lower carbon than those fuels, which means that it's more valuable. So in the way that market is developing, the lower the carbon intensity, the more valuable that gallon of oil is going to be. And so that's why it comes back and I think matters to farmers, because ultimately, and we're still very early days, like I said, 2000 acres last fall, we had a bit more than that, planted within the last 3 months. So early days, but we see the market potential is really huge. I mean, we've talked to every major oil company in the country. They figured out we were doing this work, and they flew here in their private jets, and they rolled up in their black SUVs, and they wanted to hear what we had going on, because they see this as a major new source of oil feedstock into the future that can take the place of jet fuel. And literally once it's time to put that in a airplane fuel tank, it is identical. It is chemically the same as jet fuel that came out of an oil derrick. So really easy drop-in solution when you're thinking about the aviation industry and their desire to address their carbon footprint.
Well, I think at the end of the day, just to kind of wrap this all up, looking at all the various cover crops, the potential that's out there with many of these as a cash crop, et cetera. But again, improving soil health, water quality, et cetera. That's really at the heart of a lot of this too, and a lot of the work you guys are doing with Forever Green, right, Mitch?
Oh, absolutely. We did not set out to create the next fuel crop. We're not opposed to that at all, but we set out to protect soil and water. That is the mission. That's always been the mission. And to do that in a way that really comes back and benefits farmers and rural communities. So all of us have ties, at least all of our leadership, I should say, have strong ties to farmers in our family, and communities that we've been a part of. And, you know, everybody's seen it. The shrinking of many, many rural communities and the loss of vitality, and the wealth. Huge amount of wealth that's generated by agriculture that doesn't stay out in those rural communities. So we're trying, it's hard. We're trying to figure out a way to scale up a whole bunch of these new crops in a way that can help keep the value in rural communities. It's been about that. It's been about the soil and the water since the beginning. And like I said, we've got over 15 different crop species that we're working on. A few of them are commercial on a small scale and growing. And then a number of them are still research projects, so to speak. But, you know, we don't think there's a silver bullet. Every farm is different. Every soil type is different. Every little microclimate on a farm is different. And then the market is diverse and needs a lot of different types of feedstocks. Maybe it's oil. Maybe it's protein. Maybe it's carbs. Maybe it's some specific nutrient. You know, we need to have tools that farmers can utilize to feed those different segments of the market, and then hopefully have some built-in benefits for our soil and our water right in that cropping system. So that's what we're trying to do.
Forevergreen.umn.edu for more information. Mitch Hunter, appreciate the time. Tell us more about the Forever Green Initiative at the University of Minnesota. We'll look forward to have a conversation again with you in the future. For now, though, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the time.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jesse.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now.
800-507-9624.
Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-507-9624. That's 800-507-9624. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
No two people learn the exact same way. So how did Babbel become the award-winning language learning app? We thought of you. All of you. Take Sierra. As a visual learner, she uses Babbel's wordplay videos.
Today I'll share a quick lesson on shopping in French.
Merci beaucoup. Keith is a be-in-the-room-with-real-people kind of learner. So he loves the live online classes with our language experts.
Okay, class. Vos está pronto.
Estamos prontos.
However you learn, Babbel makes it easy. Try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-296-1251. 800-296-1251. That's 800-296-1251.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
On drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Think back to the last time you were in nature. What comes to mind? Hiking through a lush forest, floating on a lazy river, or perhaps watching a vibrant sunset on a beach full of glistening plastic bottles and food wrappers. Unfortunately, this isn't a joke. Here in the U.S., we generate the most plastic waste in the world, with 70% of it ending up in landfills. And by the time you're done listening to this ad, more than a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action. But it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses, to governments, and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Thanks for sticking with us here today. Well, before we close out our program, pork producers are tackling declining demand and focusing on connecting with younger generations. We hear more about this. Farm correspondent and American Ag Network's Corinne LaRue shares more in this report.
High production costs, inflation, building maintenance, and repairs are just a few of the many expenses squeezing the margins for pork producers in America. With no help from continually decreasing demand as the generation of primary pork consumers age out, what we're left with are generations that, according to a study by the National Pork Board, consider pork to be less desirable than other protein choices. But not for long, says the National Pork Group. The study, conducted in 2023, found a decline in pork consumption across every generation. These findings have pushed pork producers and leaders of the trade to take a closer look at who their consumers are, how to connect with them, and where. Generational shifts are the single largest contributor to decreased consumption over the decade, according to the study. The per capita consumption of pork within the boomer generation has decreased from 17.4 pounds in 2017 to 16.6 pounds in 2022 and 14.4 pounds in 2023. Although changes of a pound or two might seem insignificant, it's not, and it doesn't stop there. A playbook MPC wrote outlining some of the study's findings suggests if the industry doesn't bring younger consumers into the category at a faster rate, annual consumption will decline another 2.2 pounds over the next 10 years. It also finds per capita consumption of pork decreases between boomers at 30.4 pounds and Gen X at 21.3 pounds. But for millennials, a significant drop to 13.8 pounds and furthermore decreases by more than half when it comes to Gen Z at 5.8 pounds. But leaders on the pork board don't seem panicked. In fact, they're excited about the opportunity to put pork on more dinner tables. Jesse Heimer, Missouri pork producer and member of the National Pork Board, says there's a lot they've gleaned from the consumer study.
For many years, the pork industry has relied on the boomer generation to carry the water, so to speak. They've consumed a lot of pork over their years. They've always consumed nearly the same amount of pork year after year. And we're seeing a big difference between the boomer generation, my parents' generation, likely your parents' generation, to the younger generations today, the Zs, the millennials. Those generations don't consume pork in the same way, and they don't view pork the same way.
Former pork board member and South Carolina pig farmer Jan Archer says she sees this as well, anecdotally, in her own family.
My children are millennials. They eat pork differently than I did. They buy things differently than I did. They're not buying huge cuts of anything. They're buying smaller cuts. They're cooking it differently. They're using Instapot. They're using air fryers. I still don't do that. But my generation is not the generation necessarily that Chekhov is focused on. It's focused on the future and those future buyers.
And Heimer says most of those future buyers are all online.
We have to meet them where they are, so to speak. So we're going where they are, and we know where they are because of technology. Because of technology, we know what they like, what they're interested in, what they pay attention to, what they buy. And so it's up to us to figure that part out and then meet them where they are.
Nebraska pork producer Bill Lucky, also a member of MPB, says with the strongest pork generation aging out, they're looking squarely ahead at the millennial and Gen Z groups.
So we're going to have to make sure that we're relevant for them, that they understand us and we understand them. They're going to get their information different ways than what I got my information.
So when it comes to how and where to connect with them, Heimer says that's where the board is getting creative.
You know, there's incredible technology today that allows us to promote pork in recipes on popular sites where folks look for those recipes. And as you can expect, all of this is linked to social media. CNBC had a stat that more than 57% of Zs are on social media, Generation Zs. And, you know, that stat, that's global, by the way. And that stat is really suggests that they're everywhere and they're connected to their phones. They're no different than me. I'm connected to my phone.
To narrow it down, Lucky says they're focusing on regional areas of the U.S. that will have the most impact, which means targeting consumers on the coast. Both of them, to be specific.
Be doing it a little bit different. We're going to be targeting mainly the East and West Coast, our population centers, because face it, in the midsection here in the United States, a lot of pigs, relatively low number of people. We're going to go to where there's a lot of people and a low number of pigs, because that's where we need to present our product and make sure the pork is relevant for them.
Archer says location isn't the only thing they're honing in on.
We've also done a lot of work with our domestic international marketing, looking at how different populations are eating pork. How is our Hispanic population eating pork? How is our Asian population eating pork? These are populations for whom pork is culturally really significant.
She says part of the consumer study included questions that helped define what consumers' protein preferences are, which helped differentiate between confident meat eaters to value-seeking customers or even culinary adventurers. All of this in an effort to enlighten the swath of folks marketing pork, from producer to purchaser, including packers, too. Here's Lucky again.
We're going to be working with our packers, our processors, the retailers, to make sure that this is a joint effort, that, you know, if everyone in the supply chain can make a little bit of money, that's benefit for everyone. So we're going to have a great relationship with our retailers and packers also.
Heimer says they're excited to connect with consumers in ways that really matter for themselves and their families.
You know, now it's up to us to just, you know, meet them where they are and be where they're buying at the purchase point and help them navigate the challenges of figuring out what to buy, how to cook it, how to prepare it, what the end result might be. And oh, by the way, we need to make it affordable. We need to make it fast and convenient and accessible. And all of those things are possible with a protein like pork.
I'm Corinne LaRue.
And thanks, Corinne, for that special report. With that, we're out of time here on AOA Today. Coming up tomorrow, it's our New Year's Day program. We'll have a combo of some segments you haven't heard yet and a few best of segments for you as well. On the best of side, we'll hear my recent conversations with Dr. Megan Niederwerder with the Swine Health Information Center and Dr. Harry Kaiser from Cornell University looking at the United Soybean Board's recent ROI study for the soy checkoff. Then we'll also get some market and ag economy perspectives from Ed Ussett with the Center for Farm Financial Management at the University of Minnesota and Dan Bossi, the president of Ag Resource Company. That's all coming up tomorrow on AOA. With that, we're out of time. Wishing you and yours a safe and happy new year. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA. Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust.
AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
A dog? I'm not. I was born for a purpose. To bring you hope. To guide you out of darkness. To stand by you as you
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country. 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN. Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha. And 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. In just a few hours, the iconic ball drop in New York's Times Square will ring in the new year. New York City police are on high alert, says ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The NYPD is going to take no chances, and they're asking for the public's engagement. We've